Today, I'm gonna journey back a little bit. I've touched on this message in the past, but not to the detail that I'm gonna touch on it today. And I wanna, I guess, go back to the basics, kind of. I wanna go back to, like, I always teach about covenant. I always teach about relationship, God's love for you, God's blessings, God's, concern about you, especially since the suffering doctrine has been so strong for so many years and has ruined so many people's lives. And I wanted to come back to the root of things, meaning the root of our salvation. I wanted to come back to, again, why all these things, why all these things work so well, and why these promises and all the promises of God are truly yay and amen. It's important that we know who we are, the covenant we have, but what I want to make sure we understand is where the covenant comes from. Like, why we can rely or rest ourselves on this covenant. And everything I just said to you before we started recording about, sometimes we got to stop and look back and see how far we've come. We can get so focused on where we need to be that we can. Now, let me ask you guys a question before I go on. Based on what I just shared, that testimony, like, can you stop even right now for a minute, look back and say, wow, look how far I have come, quite a way. It's like, I can see the difference. Can you? I mean, show of hands. Can you say, yeah, I can, if I really think about it, yeah, I can see how far I've come. And so that's good. That means that you're ready to go forward. Because if you can't see your launch point, it's hard to know where you're going to end up. It's always good for God to remind me where I come from. So even though it's exciting to say, well, look at the new place and look at the water and But I remember when it was, all my stuff was in storage and we were staying in this person's house and that person's house, and I didn't know how I would pay the next bill. I didn't even know how I was going to keep my beeper on. See, that's behind some of us, right? Beepers, right? I didn't know how I was going to pay my beeper bill, right? Never mind a phone or a cell phone, my beeper. Now, with that said, I'm looking at God, you didn't just make me a promise. You didn't make us a promise. You put things in place. You paid, if you want to say God paid, you paid a hefty price for me to have this covenant. It wasn't just, okay, do what I say and you're good. But you say, I'm gonna break covenant with you, and then I ask you to break covenant with me. So this is something I wanna know. Let me know. Okay, let me say it now. And then I'll cover it. I'm trying to figure, do I wanna, it's like that surprise ending. You don't want to just throw it in right away, but I'm gonna throw it in right now. I'm gonna give you the surprise ending, and then we're gonna talk about it. Okay. So God, in cutting covenant with us, made a sacrifice. How many of you know what that sacrifice is? No, nobody? His only begotten son. He sacrificed his son. That's cutting covenant. Blood. He shed a life. He gave a life for us. Now, what I was thinking about was, he gave a life for us. What do we give? We just make a confession. He gave a life. It's not a fair deal on God's part. He's not getting the best of this deal here at all, is he? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, but you, if you really want to be part of this covenant with me, you have to give a life. You have to lay your life down. That's what the whole born again thing is all about. The old you dies. If you're sincere, you lay down your life and say, God, I am no longer Lord and ruler of my life. I lay down my life, and then what I get from you is a new life. So, yes, both of us in exchange have to lay down a life. And that's why it's so important. It says, if whoever accepts Christ will be saved. People say, yeah, so you think all this to being saved is doing that? Yeah, well, you can do the rituals and all the other stuff and never give your life to the Lord. And I've met preachers, pastors, Christians, priest, whatever, was never gave their life to the Lord. They just assumed the role, or they accepted the theology, or they, study the historic accounts, and it sounded good to them logically. But there are a lot of people that have never laid down their life for Christ, even in ministry or in church. So he said the true believers lay down their lives. They're willing to let their lives go for my life. And that's the exchange. I said, yeah, but still doesn't come close. He said, well, you can't give what I can give. What did you give? Okay. Go with me to Isaiah 53. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified, but I may be bouncing forth, back and forth, where I'll be going between the King James and the Amplified. And it starts at verse 1 like this. Who will believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who will believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He have no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there will be no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, as we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, before we go any further, for anybody who reads this, I don't care what faith you claim to be. It starts off as, who will believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then he goes on to describe the Christ that has not happened yet and is not even in their imaginations of who or what he would be. He said he would be young. He would grow up as a tender shoot. Now, I've heard people say, and we see the Jesus movies and the Jesus pictures, quote unquote, and Jesus is always so handsome. And, some pictures I've seen him, he's diesel and ripped and, just the most glorious looking, wonderful, handsome man you could imagine. You picture Jesus is God's son. He's got to be phenomenally fly. He's got to be the most beautiful thing you ever saw. But the scripture says, no, he had no comeliness that you would desire him. God intentionally made him look so plain that you would look right past him. He didn't give him the charismatic charm of a David that everybody looked on him or saw and went, oh my God, he's so adorable. I'll follow him anywhere. I need you to take this in because this is all part of a covenant relationship going down right here. He says, I'm not presenting him in a way that the world will go run into him. If you think about it, if you look at stars on TV and movies and whatever, it's not a lot of people that's making it that's busted. And even if they do, it's not for a long period of time. And I say busted, I'm speaking from the minds of what people would say. It's a glorious people game. It's a beautiful people game. You know what I'm saying? It's a beauty game. Hey, well, this person made it and they went, okay, once in a while that happens, but it doesn't happen often. And even when they do make it and they get there, then they start saying to them, okay, now we need to do something now. We need to take you. We need to get some weight off of you. We need to do some plastic surgery. We need to do some stuff because that's the industry. The glamour and the allure, you don't go to magazine pictures of models and they're glorious, right? I mean, they're plain looking. They want you to be as superficial as possible. So with man's attraction to beauty and glamour, God strategically said, I will send him my son, but he won't be glamorous. He won't be beautiful. He won't have beautiful dreadlocks and crispy brown skin with hazel eyes, or he won't be white with blonde flowing hair and blue eyes. He would not be anything that you would be attracted to. Now, there's a truth I want you to grab right here. Because there's a image of God that we like to paint in our mind to make us feel good about who we serve, that he always comes in this package of something that is so beautiful and exactly what we would love or accept. But I'm going to read this one more time. It's down at verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as root out of the dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And I remember when God called me, I was aware, as many people do everything they can to jockey themselves into position and leadership position in churches and stuff, I was like, I want nothing to do with that. Nothing. I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a preacher. I don't want to be an altar boy. I don't have anything to do with it because I saw it for what it is. And I was like, pass. I'll just sit here and listen. And God said, no, you won't. You will go up there. I'm like, I see how people act, how people, he said, yes, that's what it is. It's not glorious. And everybody who sees the call as glorious, meaning for them, I doubt that they're called. Because people are called, want to be as far away from this thing as they possibly can. That's why they run and hide and duck and David ran and these people, they don't want anything to do with that because they know the weight that comes with it. And yeah, the glory that comes out of it should go to God, not to me as the preacher. I shouldn't be the superstar on stage, you know. No, that's not the way God's calling works. And once they get there and they start coming under attack from everyone everywhere, they come to the reality real quick. Yeah, this is not as glamorous as I thought it was. This comes with some problems that I can do without, but I digress. I get off that. So we just saw that. Okay. So this says, goes on to say, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted. He's acquainted with grief. He understands it. He didn't say he was a man of grief. And I want you to catch these sayings, these little things that will go right over our head. You can be acquainted with grief. You should not ever succumb to the power of grief. You should never be under grief. Grief should never control you. He's acquainted with it. Like I know you, I know your N word. I know you, but I don't know you like that. You know what I'm saying? I know you, but I don't know you like that. Like I'm acquainted with you, but we're not friends. Are you catching that? I'm acquainted. I felt something. I've gone through some stuff, and I'm acquainted with grief. But it should never take over me and become a friend. Can I get an amen on that? So he's acquainted with grief. And we hid our face, as it were, from him. He was despised, and we didn't esteem him. But watch this. Surely he has borne our griefs. And I'm reading now in the Amplified, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distress. Surely, see, so he was acquainted with it. And then this reality hits me. Surely he bore our griefs, weaknesses, and distresses. Wait a minute. So was he acquainted with it because of his love for me? And that's the reality of the covenant that hit me right in the chest. Why would God be acquainted with griefs and sorrows? Why would he even know that? This is Lord, he says, because he bore ours. He's acquainted with it because he bore ours. Now, I want you to understand this whole salvation thing because I'm trying to take it back to the roots. Like I said, I want us to go back to where all this covenant come from. Surely he bore our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distress, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet, before I go into yet, we didn't esteem him. Let's go to this. He's acquainted with it because he befriended us. He's acquainted with it because he did it for us. He made himself have a relationship with it so that he can have a relationship with us. The New Testament says that. I'll go to that later, but I want to make sure we get this in. And I hope that I'm introducing you or reintroducing you to your Savior. I hope that I'm making you understand that while we're praying for this and crying for that and believing for that and getting frustrated about that, there's a relationship here that I think in the desire for things or success or what we think we should have or how things should be, that we somehow sometimes forget how we're even in a place that we can ask for these things. And so I'm coming from a very humble place today because, as I said earlier, I see all these things happening around me and I see God doing these things. And I'm like, God, I don't even know like how I'm gonna do this, but I trust you. And then he says, remember the covenant. And I said, yes, Lord, you love me. You can. He said, no. This one, the price I paid to have this relationship with you. Somebody say the price he paid to have a relationship with me. God paid a price to have a relationship with us. Glory to God. So I'm going to read that again. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and disease, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But not true. He wasn't stricken and smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. That's the acquaintance. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. Stop. The chastisement needed to attain peace and well-being was upon him. Stop again. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. This here is the money scripture. There's a chastisement, there's a penalty, there's a price, there's a suffering needed to obtain peace because before him, man had fell from God's grace. Man and God were separated, and the only way back, there was a price to pay. And that price was grief. That price was suffering. You're starting to see acquainted with now. You understand? You're beginning to understand now him coming as a man and dealing with what man's price had to be in order for him to have a relationship with God. So he said, that's a price that you have to pay. There's a price you have to pay to have peace. There's a price that you have to pay. I want you to look at this. Pay attention to this. This is really, really serious. There's a price you have to pay to obtain peace and well-being. But he paid it. But he paid it. The price you have to pay. So when people going out to churches preaching, well, you got to go through and you got to suffer in order to. No. There's a price. They're correct. But they're speaking about like people that are not saved. They're people who have not really made real covenant with God or not understood it. There is a price, but he paid it. And he didn't pay it cute. And what I mean by he didn't pay it cute, he didn't come looking cute. He didn't come looking desirable. And the way he was put to death was not cute. Nothing about the price he paid for your well-being and your peace, none of that came in a pretty package. And so he came ugly or plain or whatever, rejected, despised. Then he's put to death in a hideous way like a criminal. And nothing about the price he paid looked gorgeous. Nothing about what he came to do for you and what he did for you looked honorable, even. He didn't look like a good person. He looked like if social media was here, they would trashed him. Trashed him. You understand what I'm saying? They would have trashed Jesus if social media was around at that time. They would have had stuff around with a fake, with a phony, this ugly behind. They would have went in on him. And he said, but what I'm doing is taking this pain and this punishment and going through this for your peace and well-being. There's a price and it's needed in order to obtain that after the fall of man, but I'm paying it. I hope I'm speaking to you today. This is some places they be jumping around, shouting, running up and down the floor, but you're students. So you're sitting there and you're learning the lesson. You're taking it in. And I pray that you're taking it deep into your hearts. And if you are, give me an amen. Okay. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for the guilt and the iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. And with his stripes, the stripes that he took that wounded him, we are, not will be, but we are healed and made whole by the stripes he took, and by his stripes, by the suffering that he took, by the abuse he took, emotionally, mentally, physically, verbally, whatever that was, by those stripes, we are healed and made whole. That's covenant. That's somebody standing in the gap for you. That's somebody saying, I'm taking the punishment for you. So don't just take it to, oh, he died on the cross for my sins and rose on the third day. No. There's more to that covenant than just he died on the cross in that one day. It said all of these things, rejected, despised, not liked, all of these things that all of us have sometimes felt at one point of our life. All of that, took all of that for you. Talked about, slandered, lied upon, spit upon, called bad names, took all of that. Came in a way that nobody would accept me so that I can get the brunt of that. I came in a way that I would be rejected, not comely. They said there was no comeliness about him that we would desire him. So I took a position that wouldn't even make me accepted. He didn't come cute and gorgeous where people would be fighting for him. He came in a way where people in general would reject him until they got to know who he was and what his spirit was and why he was here. And that was revealed to those few who settled into him. And that's who we're called to be, and that's who we are. So we can get caught up in what we feel and how we feel, but the bottom line is, somebody came and took all of that for us, and that's a beautiful thing. And I'll read my last verse for the day. Or we, like sheep, had gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. Read that one more time. All of us. Somebody say, all of us. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way, his own decision, his own path. And the Lord God Himself has made to lie or lay upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. So the peace, the love, the salvation, all of these things, the covenant relationship we have with God came from a price. And that price wasn't just, oh, he died. It was everything that led up to that moment and all the things he stood in the gap for us on and all the things and the punishment that's due to us. So if you feel like right now your life ain't as great as it should be or could be or whatever, and you want to feel sorry for yourself, go through some of this, then come see me. Then come see me. But you can't. You wouldn't even live through it. And that's the beauty of it. He could do it and he could live through it for us. And then he can willfully give up his life for us. Then he can rise on the third day for us. Then he can sit at the right hand of the Father for us. And then he can invite us in to sit at the right hand of the Father with him. And that, my friends, is a glorious covenant. The covenant is real. Don't ever forget it. In Jesus' name.